Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Deb Peters is a South Dakota State Senator. She represents District 9, and she serves on the Government Operations and Audit Committee. The committee meets July 24th and 25th to discuss new processes and procedures designed to prevent conflicts of interest when the state contracts with private corporations and individuals. It's a conversation about accountability for public funds, and it ties in to the overall conversation about Gear Up, a federally funded program meant to help low-income students prepare for college. I met with Deb Peters to talk about current lawsuits regarding Mid-Central Educational Cooperative, the statutory authority limitations of the state legislature, and how lawmakers intend to go forward and prevent the abuse of taxpayer dollars. Let's talk about the Auditor General report. What were you waiting to hear from that report that were sort of essential to pushing your understanding of what happened forward?
So essentially what we were doing in government operations and audit back in March is we started government operations and audit, and I should back up to August and September of 2015. We have annual audit reports delivered to government operations and audit, and every agency, every department, it doesn't matter who you are. Occasionally there's just a random mistake, or sometimes there's a change in accounting policies that didn't get picked up and didn't get translated right. So what the auditors do is every year they go into the state of South Dakota, they do a risk assessment based on programming, and they go in and they do basically an audit of the finances and if money was allowable or not allowable. That is done every year for a variety of different things, consistently every year. Back in August and September of 2015, the Auditor General and his staff brought to us a finding within the Department of Education. Again, nothing abnormal, really, when it comes to the grand scheme of we get audit findings every couple of months. For every program is different, but as soon as there's an audit finding, traditionally we get the audit finding reported to the government operations and audit. So that happened, that we got the finding from the Department of Education. We requested that the secretary come before us and talk about the audit finding, what happened. And that got her, and her department was already aware of the issue. The Auditor General had already been communicating with her about ways to rectify the situation. The more investigations that her and her department did, and we're going to hear more about this in July of 2017. We've got a meeting with the Secretary of Education along with the Attorney General, and we're going to get more in-depth about the details of what happened. But essentially, in September of 2015, that's when the Secretary of Education canceled the contract with the Gear Up program, and the contract with Mid-Central. The day that contract was canceled was the day Scott Westerhaus murdered his family. Once that happened, it goes into criminal court. We were given the audit finding. We started asking questions, and government operations and audit turned it over to the DCI and the Attorney General for further investigation. Fast forward to March of 2017. The issue isn't dead, obviously. The issue's still alive. It's currently in court. What happened in March, April, and May of this year, over the last 18 months or 2 years now, the Auditor General and his staff have done a special review of Mid-Central and the Gear Up program specific, and there's a couple other federal grants in there as well. That report came out May 17th of 2017. That report took thousands of hours of man hours to investigate. And they worked not only with the Attorney General and the DCI, they worked with a variety of different folks. They interviewed everybody top to bottom, whether it was when I talked to the Auditor General, Marty Ginden, when I talked to him about everything that they did to put together the special report that came out in May of 2017, he said, "We jumped through every rabbit hole, chasing every rabbit to ensure it was a dead end. We wanted to make sure that everything was covered." There's a lot of discussion about a board of connections and conflicts of interest that is up at the University of South Dakota. Some private grad students did some research and did a paper on all of that. So that comes to fast forwarding We're going to continue to talk about the board, some of the conflict of interest, and going forward, how do we prevent this? I want to kind of go back to March, April, May. We have a lot of folks that want the Government Operations and Audit Committee to go in and subpoena individuals, private citizens. And we can't do that. We don't have statutory authority. We are not Congress. We don't have that carte blanche oversight of everybody. We only have statutory authority to look at state government and state contracts and state employees. So when it comes to dealing with Mid-Central, there's a line that we can't cross when it comes to the contract. So what we were looking for with the report that was delivered in May of 2017, we were looking for the investigation and the things that the Auditor General looked at, because it's public record, and then to figure out, where do we go from here? What were the mistakes that were made? What were the errors that were made? And what role can the legislature play to ensure that those mistakes, if they were made at the state level, don't happen again? So that's kind of where we're at now. There were a lot of different things that came out in the special review of Mid-Central and a variety of different contracts. And since this report came out, now the state has sued Mid-Central and some of the board members. And I didn't bring the lawsuit, but it's about 3 inches thick with all of the documentation to go in with the civil lawsuit. But they want to recoup the money.
Sure.
Because the state of South Dakota had a contract with somebody to deliver services, and as we found out now, the services were never delivered.
Right. But the money was paid.
Mm-hmm. The reports were not, the reports were signed and validated, but if somebody creates documents and forged documents to support a number, there's nothing you can do at the state level. So now what we're trying to do, we have the Internal Control Board, which is a statutorily created board. Supervised by the governor. So right now, the Lieutenant Governor, Matt Michaels, is working with Liza Clark, who's our budget and finance director. Those two folks work with an internal control board, and they have come up with conflict of interest policies and procedures. They've got forms. So anytime the state does a contract now, you have to go through basically a small background check. You have to use a conflict of interest form, and you have to go through all of these things. All of these corrective actions came from what was found in the special revenue report.
And those are brand new, and they take effect when? Some of the conflict of interest
They are
forms.
Being in use today. Okay. They are now in use today. We are going to get an update in July with GOAC, with the Internal Control Board. They're going to bring the new forms. They're going to bring and tell us the new process and the policies and procedures the state has put in place to ensure that if we are contracting, the state is contracting with nonprofits or businesses to perform services, that we have a little bit of a line of separation between people.
Sure.
Because what we've found in the Mid-Central is there were a lot of related entities created in order to funnel money in and out, and then the services were never actually rendered.
So one of the things that we heard a lot when we talk about conflict of interest in the state is, in a state like South Dakota, everybody's connected. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of parse that out and say, okay, yes, we're a smaller state. There's lots of people, you know, couple degrees of separation, but still there's a line that we need to draw about what's ethical and what's not.
Absolutely. And I think the more public we can make the relationships. So even though we're a small state and we have a lot of small communities, and we do business with a handshake with our neighbor across the street, and that we're never going to prevent. But I think the new forms we're going to see, you're going to have to disclose, are you related to this person? What is the relationship? And what type of business are they going to perform? So we're going to do that. On top of all of that, another thing that came to light within the investigation and the auditor report is, anytime you have public funds, we have found, especially in the Mid-Central situation, the Mid-Central audit reports were done by an auditor. They did their job. They reported the audit findings. They reported their audit findings to the director of the organization, Mid-Central.
Okay.
He is under criminal investigation. Right. You know, he is being formally charged by the DCI. How did that happen? How did the auditor, you know, what caused that? Why didn't the board know of Mid-Central? Why didn't the board know? Well, the auditor did their job. They did the audit and they reported it to the guy in charge. But they never talked to the the board. So we're working with the South Dakota School Board Association, and we're going to start working through a few other things. We're also going to the Government Operations and Audit Committee. We're going to work with a lot of the public entities within the state to talk about who should get the audit reports delivered. Mm-hmm. Should it only be the one managing director of the organization, or should the auditors be supplying the audit reports with a summary to the board of directors? Or what constitutes fulfilling the duties of the auditor to ensure people are hearing the message? Because in one instance, some of the internal control issues at MidCentral were in the audit report reported to the director for 8 years in a row. So it was reported. People were aware that the internal controls were not there to prevent the fraud that happened. Mm-hmm. So how do we ensure more people are involved? And so that's some of the legislation that we're going to be working through over the next 6 months before we get to peer, hopefully fine-tuning it and making it easier to understand and also explain the reasons why we probably need something like this.
So how long was the problem building? For that full 8 years, was there criminal activity occurring that could have been identified earlier if that audit report had gone to the board, perhaps, and someone at the board had read it and said, we need to look into this?
I think it wasn't over the full 8 years, 8, 9, 10 years. I think it was only in the last 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. But we really don't know, because the people that really know are actually have passed away. So that's the trick in trying to figure out what exactly happened with some of the money, because the manager and one of the directors of a variety of these different organizations, they've passed away. Mm-hmm. So part of connecting some of the dots, we will never connect all of the dots. So now we're just trying to figure out, based on the documentation we were able to find with the special audit review and then putting a lot of these things together, how do we go forward and how do we prevent some of these things from happening, especially with taxpayer dollars?
Right. So is there a sense that this could have been prevented under the current tools that we had in the state? Or is this, there was a big gaping hole and somebody drove a truck through it?
I don't believe it was a big gaping hole. I believe any time you have a group of folks colluding to work together to create crime or to steal, they will always be successful. The trick is putting more tools in the toolbox to detect it when they try. Unfortunately, criminals will always be criminals. And you just have to try to put in controls in place to ensure that you can maybe detect it sooner. But the more people that are colluding to create documents to support positions or sign off on activities, if you have a smaller group, you have less shot of being detected. But if you have a little bit larger group and you can all stick together, it's going to be a lot harder for somebody to detect the fraud and report it. So it's a fine line that we have to walk between freedom and the laws. However, at some point, a criminal is always going to be a criminal. How we stop that, we're going to do our best.
Do you spend nights imagining if there was other criminal behavior that wasn't caught yet? Happened in other organizations and nobody caught on to it?
I think this was a unique situation, to be honest. There's a lot of folks out there that are kicking and screaming that they want more heads to roll and more people charged with crimes in this situation. That's part of what we're going to try to figure out next is, were those relationships reviewed? And that's what we're going to hear about in July. Were the relationships already reviewed? Why was it determined that they weren't included in any of the criminal or civil discussions with the lawsuits and things like that? So those are some of the things that we're going to work on in July as far as going forward. But as far as a widespread, I don't believe so.
Right. What do you anticipate happening with the next session then? Between now and then, there's going to be a package that's ready to go? What are you thinking?
Well, it's really going to depend on the members to determine what what we can and can't do. Depends. I've got one bill that I've been trying to work through with LRC, our Legislative Research Council, and I'm bringing it to Government Operations and Audit to kind of get their feel for if they think it goes far enough, doesn't go far enough, and kind of start the discussion of what do we need to do to prevent this? Is there anything further? Especially after we talked to the Secretary of Education about her experience and what she saw and lived through, talking with the Auditor General on his process for doing the reviews, what he saw and what he lived through with his staff. And then on top of that, we're going to have the Attorney General there in July, and he's going to talk about his investigation and his staff and what they lived through. So I'm hoping if you've got all of those folks that have lived through this, they can help us close some of those doors that may have been open. Maybe they weren't open and it was just, the collusion factor, sure, the criminal factor. So we've got to come up with a fine line of how do you come up with a detection mechanism before it happens without hindering progress with contracts, because you don't want the state of South Dakota to fulfill every federal grant that's out there. Otherwise, you just grow government. Sometimes businesses can do it better, but then how do you ensure businesses actually do the work?
So take me back a little bit just to make sure that I'm clear to this Internal Control Board and some of the conflict of interest policies that are already in place. That's not legislative. That's what? Clear that up for me.
So the law was put into place to create the board, to give them oversight and to review internal controls. After that, they have gone through the internal controls and they've strengthened more internal controls. So they have gone through and said, all right, in our contracting area, what do we need to do to change to ensure that we as a state are protecting our interests of state taxpayer dollars to ensure that if we're granting money or we're contracting money out to a business or nonprofit, that the program is actually happening. What kind of oversight are we having and what kind of things do we have to have in our contracts to ensure things are happening? On top of that, they've instituted new forms for conflict of interest. So if you apply for a grant or a contract, we need to know exactly who you are and who you're affiliated with. Okay. And we're going to know more about those details and all of the updated changes at the July GOAC hearing as well.
Okay. What's GOAC?
Government Operations and Audit.
There you go.
Sorry.
So when was the Internal Control Board created?
I believe they have been doing it for now 1 year.
Okay.
And so by statute, they are obligated to come to Government Operations and Audit and give an annual report. And that's what they're going to do at the end of July.
All right.
Talk about their annual activities.
When's that meeting?
July 24th and 25th.
All right.
In Pierre. Yes. We've got a full agenda.
I was going to say, that's going to be a long day.
It will be a very long day. We are talking about a lot of things with a lot of people and all very serious issues. We've been pulling in information on this over a couple of months, but in July, we're going to talk to the Auditor General, Marty Gindin. And once we figure that out, then we can figure out whether we need to subpoena folks. We have to balance a fine line. We do not want to be the committee that breaks the law. Right. So we have to follow the law, and then if there is anything that we can't do and we still feel like some rock needs to be turned over and we need to do another rabbit hole look, that's up to sending it to the Auditor General or the DCI to figure out who has the right authorization from either the courts or the statutes to go looking at that area. So I'm encouraging everybody, if they know something about what happened to this situation, with whether it's Gear Up or Mid Central, if they have not been communicated to or with by any of these parties or these legal folks, that they need to contact them, either the Auditor General on his website. He's got a red flag button that says, "Hey, report fraud." You know, if there's something that you know that hasn't been dealt with, please report it. Because I'm getting a lot of pressure to have open public hearings. Well, all of Government Operations and Audit is open and public. But if people have information related to the investigation and have not been spoken to by the Attorney General or the Auditor General, please report it to the authorities, and we will deal with it in that manner, and then we will work through the process that way.
You've been listening to Deb Peters. She's a South Dakota State Senator. She serves on the Government Operations and Audit Committee. That committee meets July 24th and 25th. You can listen to the meeting live on sd.net. When we come back, we look at the intersection between organized religion and healthcare. You're in the moment on listener-supported SDPB Radio.